Zach said a little bit ago, you know, about the take a week like we had this last week, and it feels very burdened and weary in our soul when we see what's been happening in our country. And so I just want to address that for just a little bit. We are in a family series, and we're going to pick up on that. I do think the teaching that I'm sharing today has so much to do with what's happening in our nation, but we are talking about family. So as a nation, our family, nation family is hurting, and there's been just tremendous brokenness, and I think we're all aware of that. I like you, am pained, of course, by the assassination of a young man, a young leader, hurting for his family, the Kirk family, but I think if you're like me, the thing that kind of takes it to another level is the hate and the vitriol after that, and the pain that causes. And we know that hatred and that ugliness comes from very satanic and demonic places. And it's so such a portrait of brokenness. And in some ways, I feel a little surprised by it, but maybe in other ways, knowing kind of a little bit about the condition of the human soul in our nation, maybe it's not as surprising. You know, for decades now, it seems like we've been more and more pushing God out of every aspect of our life, schools, families, home. It's gone, and we've treated God, you know, like he's nothing. And I'm not saying you all, you know, but I'm saying as a country in general, we've taken that stance, and now for generations that have been exposed to that, we are experiencing what comes from for a nation that has really kind of just pushed God off into the corner. And so it's just brokenness is what I'm trying to say. It's spiritual darkness, spiritual brokenness. And when I think about the events that happened last week, I start to also gravitate towards, you know, I'm trying to understand the why, but like, how could I be somebody that could make a difference? And I don't know if you've thought about that. It seems a little overwhelming. Like, okay, this seems so heavy, and it's happening in another community, but it's our country. Like, how could I make a difference? And I think when you start asking that question, it dials this down to a very kind of easy understanding of how you and I can be a part of a solution. And I want to tell you kind of the conclusion that I came to. You know, as a pastor, you know, it hurts my heart to see these things happening. And so I think immediately, like, what can I do and how can I be a part of that solution? And then I come to the understanding that I probably can't, you know, make a difference in this area over here, this area over here. But what God has assigned me to do as a pastor is to make a difference in my community. And so here's what I want to say to you. You live in the same community I live in. And though you may not be able to make a difference way over there, you know, in this other city, you can make a difference here in this community. And you can do that by doing exactly what the family, the Kirk family, has been saying that we should do, which is to be a part of spreading and telling people about the hope of Jesus Christ through the local church. You're here visiting with us. We're glad you're here. You call this church your home. I want to say to you, as a part of a church family, God has given us the opportunity to make a difference in our community. It's why serving is such a big deal. When you serve, you are literally being the hands and feet of Jesus, and you're doing the thing that can make a difference in the life of somebody one at a time in our own community. I can't control some of the other things that are happening, but I know I can do my part in this community. And so again, serving matters. Supporting a ministry that is trying to bring hope into the dark places of this community, supporting that ministry, that's a big deal. Being actively a part of your local church, it matters. So we can make a difference in this community. And I'd invite you, I've got a church home, this is my church home, I'd invite you to get more engaged, more involved in how you can be more and more individually the hands and feet of Jesus. You can make a post if you want. I don't know if you've noticed, but posts aren't working. I mean, you could tell people about Jesus, I think that's a good post, but in general, it's about being the hands and feet. So I want to invite you in on that journey, if you're not already there, to say, how can I connect with my local church so that I can make a difference in my community? But as we're hurting, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we do as a people. We're here today. We're here this morning. I'm like everybody else in this room. I'm saddened, disgusted, brokenness feels just so overwhelming. And so we just come to you, God, for healing hearts, and God, that you would strengthen us. We know this, Lord, there is only one answer to the depravity of the human soul. It's not a government program. It's not attending classes. It's the restoration of the human heart. It's the radical transformation of the human heart, and that is only found through Jesus Christ. So God, we need you, but we recognize our nation needs you. Lord, if your one and only Son is the answer, God, we just want to be a part of telling others about it, about the importance of it. Purposeful living, loving living, joyful living, hopeful living. We have that message as a church, as a people. As we leave here today, let's today not be just kind of a one-time thing. Actually, God, we can be a part of a movement that is going to grow and explode and make a difference in our own community. So help us with that, Lord. Help us to see clearly. Help us to see lovingly. To be a part of the answer to this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are a church that is seeing a lot of growth happening around us. And you know, we've talked about this as a church family. As our community is growing, that means there's more hurting people moving into our community. And so as a church, we want to be able to meet that need, and we are expanding as a church. We are building a new facility as a church, and I want to invite you to a really special event that's coming up in just a few weeks. If you call this church your home, I want to invite you, every one of you, to an event we're having here October the 5th. That's a Sunday, and that's from 3 to 5 p.m. We are going to have a vision night, vision afternoon kind of talk inside here in the auditorium for a little over an hour, and then we're going to go outside and we're going to take part in something we've been waiting for a long time to take part in, and that's our official groundbreaking. And so I want to invite you to be a part of that. We'll have a chance for you to do your own groundbreaking, to take, there's so many of you, we might could construct the building at some level, but like, some photo ops. And so it'd be a cool experience. I don't know where we're going to fit everybody because, well, this is one of four services, and this is pretty filled, but we're all joining us and be a part of it. I hope you'll be a part of it as well, and come on Sunday afternoon. It'll be an exciting time for our church. Our church family is growing. We are talking about families. We're talking about our home families. Really, we're talking about, in this series, our families of choice oftentimes. You know, we choose to start a family, and then, you know, there's things that happen that can be very positive, and there can also be brokenness in our own household. Obviously, if you're born into a family, that's not really your family of choice. That's your biological family or your family of origin, but then one day we all would like to have some sort of opportunity to be a part of our own family of choice. And when you go down the aisle to start a family of choice, let's say you want to be married, you get married. We talked about this last week. We have all these thoughts about how amazing this family could be, you know, and nobody is thinking about the brokenness when they go down the aisle. They're thinking about how incredible this thing could be. And then if you've noticed with some of the data and the statistics, it doesn't take long for brokenness to kind of be revealed. You start to see things in your spouse that you never saw before. It's like it's a different person all of a sudden. You know, this is why somebody that could be 3 months into a marriage could be talking about getting divorced already, or 3 years, or whatever it is. You know, like we went down the aisle and we believed big things for our marriage, but now, like, what is going on? There's so much brokenness. Well, the thing I'm going to talk to you about today will help reveal where that brokenness is coming from. And it's been there all along. What we did is we brought it into the marriage. And I want to help you see it and identify it for what it is. You know, why is it that struggle takes place? And it really comes down to you and I looking at ourselves on an individual level so that we can be healthier for the people around us. I'm going to look at a famous scripture. If you know your Bible, you're going to know this scripture very well. Others of you, this may be kind of new for you. 2 Corinthians 10 says this in verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not, okay, what's it say? We do not what? We don't wage war. All right, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we need these weapons. They are divine power. And what are they going to do? They're going to demolish. And it's that next word that I want us to say out loud. Demolish what? Strongholds, all right? That's this power that God wants to give us. It's to deal with something called strongholds. We're going to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets us up against the knowledge of God. We're going to take captive every thought. We're going to make those thoughts obedient to Christ. You want something more for your home. You want something more for your family. You can't seem to get there. It seems to evade you. Things are unhealthy in the home. Think of this word, stronghold, because that is where so much of that brokenness is coming from. I put this in your notes, you know, that we have these strongholds in our lives, and we enter into a family of choice. We often bring, I said this earlier, we often bring that messiness with us, those strongholds with us. I'll explain strongholds again a little bit more, but I want to tell you that the primary place that I see those strongholds coming from are from your family of origin, the family you were born into. In other words, so many of the behaviors that you act up, so many of the words that you say, so many of your actions are born oftentimes out of things you learned growing up in your family of origin. There are things that you saw, ways that your parents operated. Some of them were healthy, some of them were unhealthy, things that took place in your, not all of it comes from your family of origin, but a lot of it does. And so then we then bring the healthy and the unhealthy into our new relationships, our new marriage, and now that has an effect on them. And it's the unhealthy things that the Bible really dials down to something that's called a stronghold. What does it mean? It's a place inside of you that got there through some level of brokenness that you're not even aware sometimes is there, or maybe it is there, but you don't want to talk about it. You want to cope with it. You want to hide it, suppress it, but it causes pains to come out in different ways, different actions in your life. This would be a stronghold, and it's been there so long for some of you, you either don't recognize it, or the defense mechanism that surrounds it, the walls to protect that stronghold inside of you are so great, you're not sure how to fix it. Again, we want to talk through that, but the Bible says that the answer to this brokenness in your heart, in our nation's heart, in our family's hearts, the answer is not going to come by earthly things or the things the world does. It's not going to be taken care of by human idea or human strength. It's going to be done by divine power that we're going to see the answer to this situation that we have. Again, it dialed down into our own lives and into our own homes. And so you're here today. You want to fix your marriage, sir. You can leave all your muscles at the door. You don't need them for this situation. Muscle man. You tough guy. You don't need any of that to deal with your strongholds. You need something in the spiritual realm. And by the way, it's way more powerful than anything you can bring to the table. And the Bible says it will go to work and it will demolish those strongholds. A stronghold reveals itself in different ways. It's the person who knows they have an addiction. And they know it's a problem, but they can't seem to stop. What's got a hold of them? It's a stronghold. That addiction is coming from deep places in the inside, but they don't know the solution to it. The answer is the divine power of God that can demolish strongholds. A guy who just likes to cheat constantly on his spouse or lusting after other women time and time again. He knows it's unhealthy, but he keeps doing it. He can't seem to stop. Where does that come from? It comes from a stronghold. It's deep down in the inside. The girl who looks at herself, you know, in the mirror, and she says, you know, I'm not pretty, I'm ugly, and she always sees herself as ugly. She doesn't see herself as a daughter of the Most High God, and she always wants something to change so that she can feel like she looks a little bit better. That's coming from something deep on the inside, a stronghold. A stronghold in a man is that dude that runs around, he thinks he's hot, he's just not hot. Like he thinks he's so good looking, that's why he wears a Speedo at the beach. Don't do that, that's a stronghold. Please don't do that. Now, I'm being a little silly there. It's the person that can never commit. They go from job to job, from relationship to relationship, from marriage to marriage, from this to that, and one thing to the next and the next. They can never seem to commit. Where's that coming from? Something on the inside, very broken. And you and I have an opportunity to examine that, say, okay, God, with your help and your power, maybe I can deal with that brokenness. Somebody did a little commentary about strongholds. Three facts about them. I put them in your notes if you want to write this down. A stronghold is a place of strength where evil is entrenched. It's strong. It's strong. It's got a grip on you, and it's fortified, you know, almost like a castle. And you can't seem to break down the walls to deal with it. And so you cope with it or just try to hope it'll go away. But you have to, as the scriptures say, we've got to attack it. Here's the next thing. Stronghold is not, it's not often out in the open or easily exposed. Again, you can live with it for 30 years and suppress it and bury it, and just becomes kind of a part of your life. And so it's hard, again, to address. Something that a stronghold will do over time is suppress your life. It will put you in small confinement. You don't even realize it, but you're living in kind of a way in which you're just confined. You don't even know how you got there. You see that, and you know God wants an expansiveness for your life, but you seem so confined. That confinement comes from the deception and the lies of your enemy that wants to put boundaries around you in your life, and he's doing that through that brokenness on the inside. Think about it like this. We can do these invisible electrical fences for dogs. Have you seen these? And you put them out there with these boundaries, right? The dog can't see it, but they got a collar on their neck, and as soon as they come up to that, cross that line, that barrier, right, it, you know, shocks them, and they learn that there's a barrier there, right? We always do that for dogs. I don't know why we're not doing that for cats. Like, we should be, you know, but no, I'm sorry. We got a lot of cat lovers here. But like, okay, eventually, what does the dog do? It learns the boundaries, right? And it comes to a place where it's like, I'm not going to cross that line. And it stays confined. When you and I have strongholds in our life, we don't know the expansiveness for our marriage, for our family, for our relationships with God. And so we live in this confined area. It's why you would hear somebody say the words like this. It goes like this. I'll never have a great marriage. I'll never have great relationships. I'll never be successful in my life. I'll never get my finances in order. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be beautiful enough. I'll never be able to overcome my addiction. It's just the way that I am. These are words of people who are just confined in their life, being dictated by the lies of the enemy, these spiritual strongholds. They come out of deception. I put this thing in your notes as well. A stronghold is well defended, and it is difficult to attack. So what do the scriptures say about how we are going to attack this? Again, let's look at it again in verse 4. The weapons that we're going to fight with, they're not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we're going to utilize, they're divine. They have the divine power to demolish those strongholds. So I want to give you kind of three hacks, life hacks, family life hacks, maybe your personal life hacks to how you can deal with these strongholds. You know, when we go into a marriage, we do bring ourselves into that marriage, right? They bring themselves, you bring yourself, and we bring oftentimes our own strongholds. And so what we want to do is to be better for our spouse and the people around us. We want to identify what might be happening in our own lives. And so the first thing I put in your notes as we go through these is you have to identify your strongholds. That's always the first step. Right, the things that happened this week. It's so easy for us to get to look around at all the messiness. And sometimes that, you know, we need to do that. But also, we can take our eyes off of what needs to kind of be happening in our own lives. So as we come in here this morning, you know, what is it that's affecting your life and your family? 2 Timothy 2:25. Opponents of this truth that God is offering humanity must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance that is leading to a knowledge. They're going to get a knowledge that is found in the what? The truth. All right, so they're living a lie. And so what we want and what we hope for is that anybody who's not living in the truth of God, that they will turn away from the lie, turn towards truth. That's what repentance is, right? And then it goes on. Ultimately, it says what God wants for you is that they will come to their, you'll come to your senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them. He takes them captive, that's the stronghold, to do his will. The enemy brings deception. The enemy is a liar. He wants you to live in deception. He wants you to live in lies and move away from truth in your day-to-day living. That's the job of your spiritual enemy, is that you would even hear the words that I'm saying right now and that you won't even believe it's true. It's not a real issue. You know, you're just gonna ignore it and kind of go on with your life. The enemy loves that. Here's what the Bible says about our spiritual adversary. It says this, when the devil, it's not if, but when the devil lies, what is he doing? He's speaking with his own native language, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. And he wants you and I to stay captivated by our strongholds, captivated by our brokenness, and never advance out of that. And my time pastoring, I could probably list 10 or 20 of these, but I only had time for five. I listed five what I would say are common themes of brokenness that I see in individuals and families. And I put these there, number one, to bring your attention to them. But number two, that you might identify and say, what's going on in our home with these common strongholds? Could it be that some of our problems are in these strongholds and we need to go on the attack in our marriage and our family? And so I put these in your notes. Here's the first one. Maybe you'll recognize this one in your home as a stronghold in your life: material and financial strongholds. And how do you know if in your home or in your own life you've got financial strongholds? You say things either verbally or in your mind, and it goes like this: if I have just a little bit more blank, then I'll be happy. Just a little more income, just a little more car, a little more house, a little more job. Just a little bit more of something material, that will be the answer to my life. That's a lie of the enemy. He wants you to believe that. He wants you to dumb down your life to a number in a bank account or a possession, and wants your life to be defined by that, the enemy does, so that you don't see the real power and goodness of God to be operated in your life. If I just a little more clothes, if I look just a little bit better with my clothing, my buy just a little bit more, everything will be better in my life. These are the words of somebody dealing with a stronghold. There are other words, things like, I had a rough day, I feel really low, I need to go shopping. Don't look at anybody, I'm just saying, like, that happens. At least in your mind, you think shopping will make you feel better. Let me tell you a sign of a stronghold. You've got mountains of debt, and you can't seem to get past it. The debt is a stronghold, but the stronghold actually comes from some other place. There's some way that you operate and think deep down inside that says, if I have a little bit more, even though I can't afford it and have no money to pay for it, I'll feel better about life. And so you have to identify that that's there and figure out where did it come from. God, I need your help. I want to go on the attack. I want to address this. I don't want to live this way, confined, right, into Satan's boundaries. I want to go beyond that. God, I'm going to have to deal with this stronghold in my life. Would you be bold enough to just say, maybe you're circling that, or it's like that's one we need to deal with in our home. We argue over money. We're fighting over money. That's a sign that there's a financial stronghold that's needing to be dealt with in the home. Let me give you the second one: addictive or habitual strongholds. Very common, and I want to particularly talk about the addictions that you go to make yourself feel better. Coping type addictions. I've got a pain on the inside. I don't want to feel it. I want to be numb to it. I want to cope with it. I go to the bottle. I go to the substance. A little bit more, I'll feel better. A little bit more, you know, I'll go back to it. A little more porn, a little more substance, whatever it may be. I go to this addiction. It's to deal with something deep on the inside. And so you start to see that you have the addiction. Okay, it's not a matter of just the addiction you need to deal with. You need to go with the heart of where that addiction is coming from. There's some sort of stronghold. You know what? Life is messy. Some people go to sports as their addiction, or, you know what, life is messy. I got to go play another video game and withdraw from the truth about life. Whatever it looks like, we say, no, I see that I'm trying to cope there instead of go head on with what's really happening on the inside. And so if you've got one of those going on in your home or in your own life, maybe you'd be bold to say you're circling that. Here's the next one: physical or personal. Personal or physical. touched on this a little bit before, but it's I don't like my body. If I had just a little more this and a little less that and a little taller here, a little shorter there, a little less, you know, a little shape here, then I'll be beautiful. Then people will like me. Then people will be attracted to me. I don't like this, and so I'm on this mission. It's this type of behavior, coming from something on the inside that causes, you see this with women, they'll have eating disorders. Born out of this view of how they see themselves. That's coming from a stronghold. It's why a man will go to the gym for 3 hours. They'll spend, instead of being with their wife and their family, they're just at the gym. They're trying to, don't get me wrong, you should get in shape. Go to the gym. I think it's great. It's part of your routine. But it's when we're crossing that line of hours because there's something in our life we're trying to attain, if I just get a little bit more of this, then I'll be a good-looking guy, and then somebody will think something about me. Where did that come from? Beyond just being physically fit, where did this mentality come from? Here's the next one. It's relational strongholds. Relational strongholds, this is a very common one, like I've been hurt, and so I'm bitter. And so I don't do well with people. I don't have intimate relationships. Why? Because I don't want to get hurt again. I can't even be intimate in my marriage because if I let too many walls down, I'm going to get hurt. And so that's a sign. That's a sign that somebody is dealing with, a stronghold deep down on the inside. I can't get along with family. I can't get along with friends. I don't have the depth of relationships that other people have. And so that messiness is a sign of a relational stronghold in your life. And then the last one is a spiritual stronghold. And what is a spiritual stronghold? Well, everything I've been talking about is spiritual already. The stronghold is this. You just don't trust God. You've taken control of your life because you don't trust God, and you wanted him to do a thing a certain way one day, and he didn't do it a certain way, and so you're mad at God, and you don't trust him with things like we're talking about today. It's hard for you to even come to church because you don't trust people at church because you know those hypocrites. And so you're mad at church people. You don't trust me in what I'm sharing right now. And so that's a stronghold. Something happened there, right, on the inside, and it's blocking your ability to expand and grow in your walk with God. You're being honest about it, and you're addressing it. And to be even more clear about it, I put a little thing in your notes for you to just write, and just straight up honesty, I'm going to name my biggest stronghold. I shared last week one that I had to address significantly in my home and in my marriage, in my own personal life. If you weren't here, I shared last week that a great stronghold that I had to address was workaholism. It's where a man or a woman has an affair with their work. And instead of being at home, all right, they're always working. Where did that come from? I had to take time to unpack that, to look deeper down and say, where did I get that thought that my work and my job was my value and my identity and defined me? All right, so I had to work through that, and I had to decide, to get a handle on the situation. What did I do? I invited the divine power of God to break that stronghold by the grace of God, the glory of God, to the glory of God. I can tell you that I reversed that and was able to see it for what it is and become a man very deeply invested in his marriage and in his family, but it happened by the divine power of God. What is the stronghold, as I've been sharing, that you've been identifying? Here's the second thing you're going to do. I put this in your notes. You're going to take God's weapons, and now you're going to go on the attack. And what I mean is, you've seen that there's a problem, and you're going to actually go take the steps to do something about it now. Let me read this scripture to you. All right, here's what it says in Proverbs 21 and verse 22. A wise man attacks the city of the mighty, and he pulls down the what? The stronghold in which they're trusting. In other words, this is a challenge in our culture today, especially amongst men, I'm not going to be passive. Passivity is consuming our culture today. I know there's an issue, and I'm not going to do anything about it. That's passivity. What we want to do is, with the power of God, we want to immediately, we're going to work on this. I'm not going to wait another day and hope that somehow magically, by osmosis, that this thing goes away. We're going to address it. We're going to address it. We're going to take the steps to address it right away. There's a lot at stake in our family, in our house. We want this addressed now. Let me also say, it's not just about the now. It's about what happens in the future to your kids and the next generation if you don't address it. How many of you believe of and know about something called generational strongholds? This is very obvious. Here's a picture of what generational strongholds are. My dad, let's say in your case, maybe this is not my situation, but let's just say your dad was abusive to your mom or your family. What are the odds that the kids in that home, the boys, let's say, are going to grow up one day and also be abusive in their relationships? It's pretty high odds, right? That stronghold's going to get passed down. What are the odds that the daughters that grew up in that home are going to get into relationships when they get older and think abuse is okay? It's heavy. Right, we see this happen all the time. You know what? Like father, like son, or whatever it is, where we, you know, he did it and now I do it, and then the grandchildren do it, and so forth and so on. That's how it becomes generational. You need to not be passive about this because generations are at stake. And so you want to address it now so that your kids and your grandkids aren't doing the same things that you do, and I see it all the time. You have to go on the attack. Say, okay, we're going to be aggressive about this, not just for now, but for the future as well. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. I have to find that divine solution. We look at what's happening in our culture today. We look at what's happening in our families today. Another investigation is not going to fix it. More government programs, more government laws, more studies, more classes, put somebody in front of Dr. Phil for 5 hours. That's not going to solve it. It has to be the work of the power of God, the divine work that's going to infiltrate the human heart and bring that change that only God can do. There is a higher, stronger, more powerful, more awesome weapon at stake available to those of us who are believers. Verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power. What are we focusing on? To demolish the strongholds. That's what you want to do, demolish. Maybe I can help you visualize what needs to happen by... When I was growing up, there was a comedian. He's passed away now, but I watched him when I was younger. His name was Gallagher. Anybody, who knows Gallagher? All right, Gallagher, he was famous. His deal was, at the very end, he had this sledge-o-matic. And he'd bring it out, and he would smash fruits and all kinds of things, and it would splatter all over the audience, and it was kind of a really kind of the end of his comedy routine. And so to maybe make the point, I thought we'd do a little Gallagher together in our time together and smash something, but do that to help you see, you know, what it is that we have to do to really find the success that God wants us to encounter. And so I got a nice little watermelon here, and I've got my sledge-o-matic. Oops, I just beat that wall up right there. Oops. And so we, you know, in the power of God, right, the sledgehammer, we're bringing it to bear. We're bringing it into our lives. I'm going to talk about where that power comes from in a second. But we say, God, I'm not going to sit around any longer. I've got this shelled thing that packed on the inside is not good things, at least in my heart and in my life. And so I want to just say, God, with your power, we're going to, woo, I got all over me there. God, we're going to smash it. We're going to bring a deliverance to our culture. So, again, a divine power that is only from the power of God. And so what are we going to do? Two things in your notes. Number one, you're going to bring in the power of prayer right away. Right away. The power of prayer. What do we know about prayer? If you're a believer in Christ, you have access to the Heavenly Father seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ, interceding on your behalf. Connecting with the dynamite power of God, the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life, going to work, all of this working together. I'm waking up and I'm praying very specifically about the stronghold as the day goes on, time and time again. I'm praying day in and day out. God, this help me deliver on the stronghold. And the second thing that's going to happen is you're going to continue to seek truth. And where do you find truth? In the Word. I've been believing the lies of the enemy. I'm going to get God's word out. I'm going to believe his truth for my life and for my future. I'm digging into the word to know about that truth going forward. Here's 2025 today, found in Romans 1:25. Here it is. What we've done as a culture, we've exchanged the truth about God. We've decided to exchange the truth about God for a what? For a lie, and we're worshiping and serving created things rather than the Creator, who is to be forever praised. Amen. We've exchanged truth for lies. We're living in lies. We want to bring those lies to bear, bring them into the light of God so that we can now see what's really happening in our life. Romans 12:2, we're not going to conform to the patterns of this world, this broken world, any longer. We're going to be transformed by a renewing of our mind, and then we're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, his truth for our life, making a difference. We offer you ways to go on the attack here at our church. We, over the years, we haven't just said, okay, you know, we're not going to help you. We have different ways that you can get help. We have something at our church that people utilize all year long. It's called Reengage. I shared it last week. It is an intensive marriage, a gathering that they do once a week. We've got a new round starting in October. And so if you're, okay, you got some strongholds, you got some struggles in the marriage, you want some help, accountability, you want to dig into some marriage growth and any kind of growth for your marriage, you can be a part of Reengage. And so if you're interested, I shared last week, just write the word Reengage on the back of your Connect card. We'll get you information. That's the card you got when you came in. We'll get you information about Reengage. I drop that card in the bucket when the buckets pass. If you give us a good email address or phone number, we'll get in touch with you, and we will invite you to be a part of that Reengage gathering starting in just a few weeks. Again, if you know there's a struggle, men, in your home and in your marriage, don't be passive. Take the card, write it on the card, and say, hey, I'm going to take the lead in us getting some help. We have Celebrate Recovery that meets on Mondays right here in the cafe, CR. You don't have to sign up for that. Just show up 7 o'clock tomorrow night right here in the cafe. What are they dealing with there? Life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups? Strongholds on the inside that need to be dealt with. That's what they're dealing with at Celebrate Recovery. So you could be a part of that. It's why we do things like Financial Peace University to help people deal with the stronghold of finances. It's why we do divorce care, because a divorce can leave a bitterness and a stronghold inside of you. It's why we do grief share. You know, a death of a loved one can leave a stronghold there. And so we do these things so that you can have helpers to get through these strongholds and out of those barriers and boundaries of your life. Here's the part that I put, just touched on it a little bit, but in your notes, demolish the strongholds with God's truth. 2 Corinthians 10, let's read this. What we're going to do, we're going to demolish the arguments and every pretension, the lies that set itself up against the knowledge of God. We're going to take it captive, every thought. We're going to make it obedient to Christ. We're bringing lies to the feet of Jesus, and we're discovering truth. Rather than being a prisoner of the lie in your life, what are we going to do? We're going to take the lie and make it captive. We're going to gather, and we're going to imprison the lie so it can be removed from our lives. I remember another stronghold that my wife and I were facing many years ago. This was back during, I guess we call it the Great Recession. It's been well over a decade now, but I remember we were in such financial disarray. I don't have time to go into how I got there, but any of us could have been there in this room, and we were just in a mess. And I can remember the nights wondering how we were going to pay the bills, how are we going to survive this, the anxiety, the stress, night in and night out, not able to sleep. My wife, both of us, just dealing with the stress in our home and in our marriage of being in a financial, in financial disarray. And I remember this moment where I stopped and I took the lie that I was believing and buying into, that I couldn't survive, that God wouldn't provide. I took the lie, held it captive, ready to do the breakthrough. Here's how I did the breakthrough. And in this case, it was pretty simple. Here's what it was. I took time in a moment to focus on truth. And the truth was, up until that moment in our marriage, God had always taken care of us already. All the time. Day in and day out, he had provided. We still had a roof over our head, food on the table. He'd been doing that for a long time. And so what I decided is like, I'm going to take those thoughts captive about concern and chaos. I'm going to say, no, no, my God will provide. I don't know how it's going to work out, but he'll provide. And in that moment, in our marriage and in our family, the peace, this is what the Bible says, the peace that surpasses all understanding infiltrated our hearts. And we never had those feelings again. But what did we do? We took a moment and we just attacked that stronghold. We weren't going to be bound by it any longer. Sometimes God works it just so quickly like that. Sometimes you need to break through the shell. It's this journey you're going to go on. But either way, the divine power of God is what breaks those strongholds. Let me pray for you now. God, there's a, could be a family, could be an individual. The strongholds are real and it's being identified now. If you're here today, you're a believer in Christ, and you know there's a something that is deeper down on the inside that's causing whatever is happening in your life. You've been able to see it for what it is today. Would you just, if you are a believer in Christ, would you take time to make a commitment today to go on this journey with the divine power of God to demolish, to tear down that stronghold? A commitment that starts today. God's power is greater than anything in your flesh and in your mind or anything this world can offer. And it will take down that stronghold if you'll be committed today, going forward, to seeing the stronghold dealt with in your life, in your family, your marriage. No passivity today. Going on the attack. Maybe this morning you're watching online, you're joined us now here, and you came for other reasons, or you're hurting, I don't know. You've got some stronghold in your life. The problem for somebody here in this room is you have no access to this power that I've been talking about. That power is only reserved for believers, people who have a walk, a relationship with God. You came and joined us, and you'd like to see that happen, and you've maybe tried to do it with your own power, but it's not going to happen with your own power. It's going to happen with God's power. And if you want access to that power, you need to have a relationship with God. And you can't have a relationship with God until you've been forgiven of your sin. Only forgiven people have a relationship with God. And that relationship can begin today, right where you're seated. Just in your heart, you could just say, God, I've tried it my way. I've tried it in my plans and my design and my power, and I'm empty. The good news of Jesus Christ is you don't have to live that. We don't have to live bound by the lies of the enemy. You can be set free. It's the hope of Jesus Christ that does that. It's the hope our nation needs, and it's the hope that we need here right in our own community. If you're here this morning and you want to begin that journey, just right where you're seated, say, God, I'm believing that you forgive me of my sin through the gift of your one and only Son, Jesus, and what he did on the cross. Again, not by my power, but the power of God on the cross, my sin can be forgiven today. God, you're going to cleanse, wash me, make me new, and I'm going to have a relationship with you starting right now to go on a new journey with you. So today I surrender. God, I invite you to my life, the gift of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.